Hello and good day, everyone. It's Kevin Finkel here with another episode of Magic: The First Pioneers, joined by my co-host.
Oh, already? Okay. Hey, guys. It's me, Ryan, coming at you from the coronavirus capital of Japan, Yokohama. No, I'm joking.
Yeah, we were just talking about that a little bit. Hopefully nothing bad's going to go on there.
No, it's...
Now they're letting people off that ship you're talking about. Yeah. But anyways, on this podcast, this is The First Pioneers. We talk all about the Pioneer MTG format, keeping our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer.
Okay, so today, what are we talking about? What's our topic?
Well, you know, we're coming off of some big weeks. You know, all the pros were talking about Pioneer for a few weeks there because we had a couple players tours, we had an SCG, we had just all kinds of Pioneer being played at the highest level. And, you know, like, we're also kind of mid-season. This is kind of where the meta really shakes out on what's the top decks, what is good, and we just want to kind of make sure we're keeping on top of that for our listeners. So for anyone who hasn't been paying the closest attention to Pioneer, you know, maybe you were playing beginning of the season, end of last season, you're just jumping back in, we're just going to kind of give a, here's what's happened this season, this is what's big, we're going to talk about those recent results, and, you know, we're going to look forward a little bit. We're going to try and do some predictions on what they'll do for the rest of the meta before the next set comes out, what we think are some top cards right now, and what decks you think might be up and coming a little bit under the radar. We don't want to go too deep on that because we kind of did a whole episode on that recently, but, you know, we'll just some of the things we'd like to talk about today, I think,
yeah,
if we get time.
So I think, like, right about now is when most people are going to be getting into Frontier. A lot of people are like, they're waiting, okay, I want to wait until after the bans happen to, you know, decide which cards to get, or I want to wait until after we get some, like, good, you know, results from the events, and now all of that stuff's coming out, and now people are like, okay, I'm deciding on a deck, I'm getting stuff, and yeah, that's basically what we're hoping to help you with today. And to help you decide what to play, to help you decide, you know, what cards to get, etc. Mm-hmm. So, do you think, before we get started and go into depth about this, do you think that the format is solved?
That's tough to say. I don't think that I'm not expecting any more big surprises this season. You know, I think we might be able to see, like, hey, everyone goes towards aggro or everyone goes towards control if that's what's predominantly doing well. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to see another real meta shakeup like we've seen a couple times now with Niv-Delight coming in and breaking up those mid-range decks. And then the combo decks, the Sultai Delirium or the blue-black inverter or the breach combo really doing a whole lot to shake things up.
Yeah, we had a lot of spice.
I don't think we'll get too much more of that, but yeah, there's been a lot of spice.
Yeah, like right before the Players Tour and even after during the Players Tour, you know, there a lot of, you know, players brought some spicy decks, you know, like I think we talked about the other time, but Saram's Auras was, you know, kind of out of nowhere. But I think people really won't have the reason to kind of bust out new tech anytime soon. So I don't like you said, I don't think we'll see a lot of shakeup.
Yeah, the major tournaments are over. We'll be seeing some new cards in March. People will probably start to be looking forward. I don't think that it's, you know, a bad time to play Pioneer, though. I think that if you're especially someone that likes to play at high level, you're not worried about, like, oh, man, I'm going to be seeing some weird brew every single deck, every single game. It's not a bad time to, you know, jump onto MTGO, play just a whole bunch of, you know, high-level Magic. I think that right now it's a good time to play high-level Magic. The format's in a reasonably stable place, and there's a lot of decks that have game against each other, and fun games as well.
I think it's kind of like we're into the rock-paper-scissors part of the metagame, you know, where it's kind of settled somewhat. Maybe it's not 100% solved, but, you know, there's going to be one week where everyone's running scissors, and some people are going to be running paper still, and, you know, you're going to have to, you know, decide, you know, which deck to take with you.
I think that's reasonable insofar as we know what decks are good against what decks, generally. I don't think that, as an actual format, it's something where this deck beats that one, this deck beats that one, this deck beats that one, and those are the meta decks. Like, I don't think it's quite there. I do also think that hate cards play a big role here because you can really, really aim your hate cards towards certain decks. Yeah. You know, the Breach deck, I think, is the biggest example there, where you could be a mono-red deck that's great against the Breach deck, or a mono-red deck that's terrible against the Breach deck, and it depends on how much hate is sitting on your sideboard.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's talk about a couple of results, kind of like what we've had from this season so far. SCG had one last weekend, right? Or do they have one this weekend in Indy?
I think it's... let me find out, because I didn't... I was busy most of the weekend. I wasn't watching their stream or anything if they had it. Usually I watch those during work throughout the week.
Because like I
think it's actually still coming up, maybe. Let me double check that.
Like any other big Pioneer events. Well, I know that in Japan, I think I said this before, but Hallelujah has their God of Pioneer event coming up on the 29th of February. So probably by the time that everyone listens to this, it'll either be happening or it'll be right after this, you know, that event mm-hmm. happened. So that's supposed to probably be close to 200 people. I think the last one they had like 170, 180 people, and that was, you know, at the beginning of the season.
And as we're recording this, it is this coming weekend that is the Star City Games Indy. Okay. That's going to be the Pioneer one.
Okay.
So I should have made it out to there, but that's a drive.
So we might still see some stuff then. We might still see some spice come out of this season before we start getting spoilers and whatnot.
Yeah, hopefully. That would be great if we saw one or two breakout decks, you know, just something that's able to answer those top combo decks. I'm really interested to see where the pros go. You know, we've got some ideas of our own, but we're not at that level of, you know, multiple GP level teams testing together.
Yeah. So if we take a look at the current results, just from like what we've seen so far from the Players Tours and the Grand Prix that happened a few weeks back, Bat Spirits won at Players Tour Nagoya. I think that was Kenta Harane won against Inverter. Mm-hmm. Brussels Players Tour, I think that was Swedish Sultai, right?
Yeah, so actually a friend of mine was playing that deck on that team. If you know Mussy, he was on that Sultai deck. Yeah, he went 9-0 on the first day and
nice.
Then 0-6 on day
two.
Oh,
that's too bad.
Yeah, so he might have been another one in the top eight if he had had a little better luck there. But yeah, his team was playing that Sultai deck. That's why it kind of came out as the Swedish Sultai deck. And that's been doing really well since. So that's been a nice kind of answer to where the format has mm-hmm. slowed down to. It does have some really powerful top end. It's got some just grindy things. It's one of those decks that seems like it should have always been good, and mm-hmm. people were just never... the meta was never in quite stable enough of a position for them to be able to just jam these things, and then Uro really being the one new card that deck plays that's quite powerful. So you're always filling your graveyard, you know, Seder Wayfinder, mm-hmm. you're filling it with, you know, you're playing
the Grizzly Salvage.
Grizzly Salvage sometimes, you know, you're just putting things in your graveyard, Jace often, and the ability to just play Uro as like a real, real threat is extremely powerful.
Threat
as well
and
as just
life
ramping
gain
towards
and,
your winning plan.
No, I'm so happy that Sultai Delirium is doing well, because I bought a bunch of Jaces, and, you know, back when they were still kind of cheap.
That wasn't one I specced into. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm happy that they're actually getting past the point where I bought in on that.
Wow.
So one thing I wanted to say real quick about the Brussels Player Store was very diverse top eights. You know, Sultai Delirium won, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of different types of decks. But the Nagoya Players Tour was like a bunch of Inverter. I think like five Inverter decks made the top eight of that one.
Yeah, I have been hearing... Now, that's interesting. I think the one I've been hearing has been most prevalent online has been the Breach deck, even though it hasn't been putting up quite the same levels at tournaments.
I mean, I've played against it a bunch of times. It's sick.
Yeah, they're both really gross decks.
Yeah.
I was a big fan of the... I jumped right onto that, the Blue-Black Inverter deck. You know, it's one of those things where whenever there's a new deck, I'm like, you know, that looks sketchy. That seems like it's kind of a goofy combo, mm-hmm. but I always try it out. And that was one of those few times where it's actually like, okay, yeah, this person's not just messing around. This has a legitimate play.
Yeah, yeah. It's Blair Twin. So, yeah, speaking of Blue-Black Inverter, that one player's tour of Phoenix, I believe.
Yes.
So
should I double check you, or am I trusting?
I'm pretty sure. I checked this out like the last week when I was preparing for this show. So we had Inverter win one, we had Sultai Delirium win one, and we had Banned Spirits win one of the Players Tour. So if you can see a pattern here, it's blue.
Hmm.
Blue is
yes, that's
very
definitely
good.
A big thing. Blue is definitely up there.
What else? If you talk about some of the Grand Prix, I want to say that I'm pretty sure that it was like the red Eldrazi build of mono red.
Yeah, that
one
mono
GP
red
Phoenix.
Yeah, GP Phoenix was a mono red again. That one I was watching. That one was pretty cool. So yeah, I mean, it's running that Eldrazi Obligator.
Yeah.
This one wasn't running Karyzev's Expertise in the main, which I have seen.
I kind of like Obligator more, especially if you're running 4 Mutavol and 4 Ramunap Ruins.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me.
This deck is only... I mean, you kind of have to either have, like, red-white maybe as a splash. I mean, if you wanted to have, like, Battlefield Forge or something, or you could run blue, I guess, if you wanted to splash for, like, another color just so you have, like, multiple sources of colorless mana. But this is a deck I think that's only going to get better as we get more of the pain lands. Like, once we get, like, the black... red pain land, this could be a pretty sick deck.
I could see that. You know, that would give you a little bit more option. You'd be able to run a lot more cards, because right now they're playing the Battlefield Forge just as an ability to, you know, have a red plus colorless multicolor. If you could do like a red black and actually play some black cards, or better yet, if you could be playing like red green, you know, what is it, Copperline Gorge?
No, the red green one. What is the red green? Carpusulan Forest, maybe? No.
Oh, that might be.
I'm not sure. That's like the old one, right?
Maybe. Yeah, I thought it was Copperline Gorge, but maybe that's a different.
Copperline Gorge is the fast land.
Oh, right.
I'm pretty sure. But that won the GP against an inverter heavy meta.
Against 5 or 6 inverters in the top 8 there, I think.
And then
I've got it. It was 5 inverter, 2 spirits, and a Torbran. They're calling it Torbran red, but I see it as that mono red Eldrazi.
And I also want to say, like, blue-red Wizards won the Grand Prix at Nagoya. I think we talked about that, you know, in another
show. We brought up how that was a kind of a cool little breakout. Yeah. I don't think I've seen that pop up again.
No, it hasn't.
But, you know, the last time we talked meta, we were saying, like, hey, if you want to right now be something that's aggressive but also has some blue so that you can be disrupting people, because you really need to be disruptive in this format.
And I think they also had some PTQs that went on at Phoenix before, and I thought that was worth mentioning. So one of them was a 283-person PTQ at Phoenix that was won by Bant Spirits with a lot of aggro there. And another one was a Golgari aggro deck that won at a 207-person PTQ. I think that was also at Phoenix. I think they had like a Friday and like a Saturday one.
Okay.
Or maybe it was a Friday-Sunday one.
Saturday-Sunday, probably, yeah.
So, yeah, blue, like I said, if we're going to take a look at the current results, it looks like blue is definitely going to be where most of the winning decks, or sorry, it's going to be the color that most of the winning decks are running.
Now, is there any way to punish that? Is there any way to be like, this is the card that beats blue?
Well, blue's like, gives you what, tempo, it gives you card draw, it gives you counter spells.
Yeah, it gives you a 1-mana counter spell. I think that's kind of the big deal here.
Well, if there was this card called Veil of Autumn.
That's not where we want to go. Veil of Summer. That's not where we want to go. I know. I think that too. I'm like, oh man, Dimir Inverter, number one deck. It's blue-black.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that you can just go and unban Veil of Summer. That does not work for me.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, how would you punish all these things? You don't want them to keep playing spells, so something that stops them from playing spells would be good. You know, Hand Disruption, a lot of people are playing black, which is good. I don't know, man. It's hard for me.
I'd love to see a deck that could play Eidolon of Revel. That seems decent right now, but I don't know who can actually run that.
Mono Red. I mean, Mono Red does play it, right?
Not all of them. Not most of them, I don't think.
Yeah, Mono Red would definitely be one. I think that would be good in this matchup. You know, Mono Black's still got a lot of that Hand Disruption, which is good. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. There's like, I was going to say, like, you could make like a Spider Delirium deck. Spider Delirium.
I mean, that, why not just the Sultai Delirium?
Yeah, with spiders. With that new guy.
No spiders. No? Just okay. Sultai Delirium. Yeah. I mean, you can play the one, you can play Shekinah.
But it's blue. Yeah. So I don't know. It's hard to punish blue.
Yeah.
You know, they just have so many ways to dig out of, you know, whatever situation that they have. And maybe that is the problem. I don't want to talk about bans, but some people are saying maybe there needs to be something that kind of evens it out so we don't have so much blue.
Yeah, I mean, let's just give our quick. Do you think that, you know, they declined to ban anything the week following the real results from the two-player tours. They declined to ban anything the following week. They don't have anything scheduled. It would be at least a week out that they would announce bans if they did. High or low, any chance of bans happening before the end of this meta?
I don't think there's going to be a ban, because we don't have any really big events coming up that are really going to force them to make a ban, I think. Unless, you know, you get, like, a lot of data from, you know, this SCG Open in Indy this weekend, or something from, like, the, you know, God of Pioneer, and it's, like, 80%, you know, Inverter or Lotus.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I mean, I guess they tend to focus more on MTGO results.
Yeah, I was going to say, they get a lot of data from MTGO, and there is a lot of data right now.
I don't really like using only MTGO, though, just because not everybody can afford MTGO, not everybody plays MTGO. So
yeah. I think for me, the line I'm still watching is how much Mystical Dispute is being played in the main deck. And mm-hmm. if it's, you know, more than a couple, or like more than a couple decks that are regularly playing Mystical Dispute main deck,
mm-hmm.
that's when I'm starting to think, okay, probably we're not in a place where... you know, we're in a place where something is too powerful. We need to look at how we can get rid of that. I don't think we're there yet. I think that there's a... I would definitely go on the under. You know, if we're doing over-under, I'm saying under. We're not going to see any bans till the end of the season, at the very least.
Mm-hmm.
If nothing changes, if nothing is able to be shaken up with a whole new set of cards, I would be very surprised, considering the consistent power level of formats we've seen lately. But that's where I'm calling it right now. I don't think that there's no way to hate Inverter. I don't think that there's no way to hate... the breach decks.
I mean, I do hate like the decks.
That's fair.
But yeah, it's not totally broken. That's
for me,
that's
the biggest one is definitely breach, just because there's so limited ways to hate it, and the ways to hate it aren't very broad. Like, it's mm-hmm. not like, oh, you play graveyard hate, that's also covering up this matchup and this matchup and that matchup. It's really like, oh, you're playing just Damping Sphere.
Yeah, totally agree with you on preparing for the current meta. And some cards are okay against a variety of things, but nothing's like really good, because now mm-hmm. especially like Lotus Breach is playing Unravel that either, which makes it a lot harder, I think, to, you know, stop them from going off.
Yeah, I think so.
But, all right, so
all right, here's next topic. A question I kind of wanted to pose. It wasn't on your list here. Is, you know, looking at what's become big now, is there anywhere that hate has backed off? Like, were there any decks that were being hated out of the format that, like, they're starting to make a hole for, you know, Niv-Mizzet, or I don't know, Possibility Storm or Rally, or you know, I'm probably not anything that's going to have to do with a graveyard deck. I think that those still have plenty of hate for them. Although not all of the decks do. Not everyone's running Graveyard Hate. I think it's still common enough that I'd be worried to do that. But, like, I'm just seeing if there's anything you've seen, like, hey, you know, they're really backing off on blank. Let's go try Scales again, you know?
How about Planeswalker Hate?
Hmm.
Yeah, I haven't really seen a lot of Dreadbores or... I mean, not a lot of Murderous Riders so much. Some people, I think Swedish Sultai maybe is playing, like, two of the Heroes Downfall, maybe. So
yeah, that's reasonable. I mean, if they're not affecting the board, they might not be good against the combo decks, but I could definitely see that as somewhere where they're not hating as much. I do think that we've seen a bit of a downtick in Teferi.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was being seen in the five-color Niv-Mizzet, and that deck isn't seeing so much play. Even blue-white control seems to be moving away from the three-mana Teferi somewhat. Yeah. So I think that if there's decks that were being really held back just by that card, I'd consider looking at them. I don't think that Possibility Storm is one I'd go for right now, because there's other combo decks and that gets hated by some of those same cards. I don't think... I don't know, I always want to be like, hey, ooh, is it Marvel's time to shine? But probably not still.
Yeah, I guess Artifact Hate? Is there a lot of Artifact Hate?
There's a reasonable amount. People have it in the sideboards, especially if they are a deck that is weak to hate cards. So mm-hmm. the Dimir Inverter decks are going to have something, you know, especially if they're Sultai. The Lotus Breach decks all have something.
Well, I'm just wondering if, like, something like Blue-Red and Soul can be good again, or... or something. Like that.
Yeah, that's been putting up results. It's a real deck right now. I don't think that if you're playing a blue-red install, that it's a bad idea to keep playing it.
So yeah, I think my pick on that would be Planeswalker decks, like, you know, just like Super Friends or something like that. Maybe like a Fires of Invention or something that lets you cheat them into play.
I love that deck. That's such a fun deck.
What about you? Did you have any other ideas as far as like what you think is safe now? What is seeing less hate?
Yeah, I don't have anything else that has become more easily. I've already given my thoughts. You know, maybe something that was not weak to Teferi isn't going to be anymore. I wouldn't play anything that was preying on mid-range decks.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got something that can prey on aggro, go for it. I'm not sure if that really exists in a hardcore way.
Mm-hmm. I mean, are beatdown decks a little bit better now? Are people not playing stuff like Fumigate or
That's Shatter actually the Storm? A good question. I haven't been seeing a lot of sweepers. Like, even the the Sultai control decks or the Sultai Delirium decks don't really play sweepers.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fair amount of sideboard sweepers in like the Lotus Breach deck. You know, sometimes they'll have a sweeper in the sideboard of Inverter.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if you've got something that can get, you know, if you could find a deck that regularly can play like Kaya's Wrath or something like that, or, you know, Supreme Verdict, I think that's in a pretty good place. I mean, obviously blue-white control, but I think that wouldn't be bad. I would not dislike the ability to play real sweepers again.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, that's sorry, if you don't mind, that's all I have to say about that topic. I had another topic I wanted to ask you, since we're talking about decks here, what's going to be good, and I wanted to ask you what you think the metagame is going to look like for the rest of the season. So going into this weekend, you know, in Indianapolis, or going into the Tokyo event in a few weeks, what do you think is
Let me just quick finish my thought there, because I realized I was answering the wrong side of that.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to play a deck that, what you should do is you should play a deck that is not... No, play a deck that's weak to sweepers, because there's not a lot of sweepers playing.
Yeah.
So maybe something like Elves. That's what we need to look at. Okay, you're saying looking forward, looking at the upcoming tournaments, what we might be looking for if we're playing ourselves?
What's the meta? What's the meta going to be looking like? What are people going to be playing the rest of the season, you think?
I think no big surprises. I think, you know, Lotus Breach, Inverter, Spirits, Delirium, we'll see Mono Black, we'll see Mono Red, we'll see Mono White, we'll see Control... you'll see some other blue X.
So, for example, best combo, decks. Best combo, everyone will be running Inverter and Lotus Breach, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I consider Lotus Breach to be a combo. The Demir Inverter is kind of more of a combo control.
As far as like best tempo deck, probably Spirits, right?
Yeah, that's pretty clean to say.
If mid range,
maybe Mono Black aggro if you're counting it that way. I feel like that's still somewhat of a mid range deck
because you're just recurring the threats again and again.
Unless if, it's somewhere between that and Sultai Delirium. Those are kind of both at the opposite ends of a mid-range.
And how about aggro decks?
I mean, mono red. You want to go mono.
But which version of mono red? I mean, like...
Ooh, yeah, because there are... See, I wouldn't hate a little bit of a go wide. Like, I kind of like the ones that are running, still Rabble Master, Torbran. I do like that ability to just really punch face with on-the-board threats.
Like, I kind of like the ones, like... With they have like the Eldrazi Obligator, and I like the ones that have evasion.
Okay.
The ones that kind of, or someone else was talking about like running Goblin Heel Cutter. You know, stuff that just kind of like makes it very difficult for the person to block.
Interesting. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think those are going to be better as far as like aggro is concerned. So anything with evasion, anything that doesn't get stopped by a big 4/4 body on the ground. Or 5/5.
Or a 6/6. Yeah.
What about control? Okay. What's going to be the best control deck, you think?
I mean, I kind of consider the Sultai Delirium more on the control side. Demir Inverter kind of on the control side. I don't love where blue-white control is, but I think it's perfectly fine. I think you've just kind of really got to tailor it to what you expect for your own meta.
Mm-hmm. So, I think that covers most of the archetypes. That's basically what I wanted to cover. It's like, how is each... you know, archetype kind of going to be stacked up against the rest of the metagame, you know, for this season. I don't know if there's anything else that you want to talk about. I had another topic I wanted to talk about, though.
Yeah, go right ahead.
So I kind of have been talking about this for a while. I know some other podcasts, some other articles have kind of talked about this a little bit already. But I want to talk about what now that we have like a kind of a settled meta game, can we actually start talking about what's tier one, what's tier two, you know, what's tier 1.5? Would you be able to make a list? Like, if I asked you what's tier one, what would, you know, spring to mind?
You know, I think all the things we just listed, I think I could give a pretty broad list of what is tier one. And I don't think that you could strongly say, like, no, mono red is not tier one. No, blue white control is not tier one. I think that there really is game for you to be playing any of these top decks that have the frequency and have the power level to compete against the other top decks. I think that, for me, defines what's a tier one deck.
So, any of
there's definitely been examples in the format where it's like, hey, if no one's playing the Graveyard Hate, this Dredge deck is amazing. So it's, for me, a tier 1.5.
But for me, tier 1 is like all about consistency and, you know, it does what it wants to do and it does it very well.
Yeah, and I think that I would say that all of the top, you know, 8 decks or so fit under that tier 1 umbrella for me. I don't think that I could reasonably exclude any of them. Maybe like mono white, maybe a blue white control, but even that one. Like, I'm a pretty hard detractor of that one. I couldn't strongly say, like, this doesn't deserve to be tier one because X.
All right, well, okay, how about this? I'll give you the name of an archetype, and you tell me where you would put it. Would it be tier one, tier two, or tier 1.5, kind of like right in the middle?
Okay.
Is that okay?
Okay. Sure, yeah.
Simic Ramp.
7. Wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, not great right now. I think it's probably outside of tier two.
Oh, really? Okay, how about Green Stompy?
That's one of those one that I think is going under the radar a little bit. I could call that tier two because I think that there's potential. I haven't seen a build of it that's consistent enough or putting up the results.
Mm-hmm. All right,
maybe 2, 2.5.
Okay, Hardened Scales.
Ooh, 2.5. Really? 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I it's just it not too. A.
How about the SRAM Auras deck?
That's one of those interesting ones. I think that's niche, which I think, for me, fits well as like a tier 2 definition, and it has play against some but not all of the top decks. I think that gives it a kind of a tier 2 definition. I think that other ones that have fit in that before that have kind of been replaced by the Ceramos Auras are stuff like the your favorite Soul Flare deck. I think that when we had Boggles, that was one of those ones that floats around as a tier 2.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a wrong decision to bring it to a tournament. It just might not have the same prevalency and play as the top decks.
Okay, another one that was kind of a favorite when Pioneer first started, but I don't know where it's at now. Blue Red Phoenix.
Ooh, have not seen it compete at all in a while. Yeah. I'm trying to think what that could do well against. I don't love it. Yeah, I don't think that's great.
So not even in tier anymore.
You know, it could be, you know, 2.5. I think that it's, you'd have to be strategizing. I haven't seen enough lately to say why exactly it's fallen behind.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's in a good place, though.
How about 5-color Niv-Mizzet?
I think that's a tier 2 deck. I think that's still, you know, that's another one of those decks that I like as a tier 2 deck because it's so adaptable to what meta you want to play it in.
Mm-hmm. How about the Golgari aggro? It's kind of like Golgari aggro company. What's
the Green Stompy you were talking about?
Yeah, right? But this one has like the 7/6 dinosaur and collected company. I like this. Both I don't know. Collected company.
I mean, these are all reasonable decks. You know, if I'm going in, I could probably find a good list of that on MTG Goldfish.
Yeah,
you know, build a version of it that I like. I don't think it's wrong to play into these decks. I think the meta supports a lot of variation.
But are they the best?
That one might that one might worry me a little bit because you can't play blue, so you're not playing good cards.
All right, I got a couple more. How about Blue Red Insole? Where would you put Blue Red Insole?
I think that's in a good spot right now. I think that's probably like 1.5.
Okay, and Heliod Devotion.
That's one of those ones. Is that a tier one deck? I don't quite think so. I think that it's just it's probably being played a little bit less than some of the other tier one decks, and doesn't interact in quite the same ways. I think that's probably a 1.5.
Yeah, I think, like, I played against it, and it's like, if you have hate cards, like, if you can get rid of their combo piece, the deck's going to, like, struggle, I think.
Mm.
But, like, if you can't get rid of it in time, it's going to beat you. Like, if you don't Lost Legacy or Slaughter Games, their Heliod or Ballista.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
All right, well, we'll go to another topic, unless you have any strong feelings about any of those ones you just named.
Yeah, I mean, I had a lot more on my list, but, yeah. I think you're pretty your explanation was pretty good. I, I, I agree, you know.
Yeah, because on any given day, it's reasonable to play into these decks. I don't think that it's certainly not a format like there are times where Modern, if you're not playing one of the top 10 decks, you are complete trash.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't be playing Modern. This is definitely not one of those formats. I think that you can definitely play a deck outside of what's considered to be top tier and be, you know, favored in some of those tier matchups. You can be favored in some other matchups that are trying to beat the other tier decks. So definitely don't, like, take a tier list as being like these are the only ones that are your options, because it's really not that at all.
So another thing that some of those older Eternal formats have, they have tier zero decks, basically. Pioneer have a tier zero deck?
No, absolutely not. I don't think at any point Pioneer has had a tier zero deck. I think it was close with Saheeli. That's the closest thing I've seen is to being a tier zero.
So, like, it's hopefully we never have, like, a what was it, the Callblade deck.
Yeah, so tier zero, for anyone who doesn't, like, get our definition here, is not only... So, generally, like, something's tier one if it's favorable in most of its matchups, favorable against the other top decks. A tier zero deck, to be truly tier zero, not only... Basically, there's no deck that has a better odds of beating it than the mirror match.
So, like,
That's pretty much the true tier zero. So, like
Eldrazi you couldn't Winter. Take...
Yeah, you couldn't find any deck and be like, okay, this is the deck to beat Eldrazi Winter. It's got a 70% win chance against it. No, the absolute best you can get is by playing Eldrazi Winter yourself and having a 50-50.
Huh, okay. All right, you want to move on to the next topic. Yeah. So my next topic, you know, again, I want to take a look at this whole season so far. And I wanted to ask you what you think the current all-stars of, you know, Theros, Beyond Death, Pioneer... season is. What would you say is like your top five? I definitely have a few that...
Okay. Why don't you start us off? Because I've known my top three. I'm trying to think of a couple other ones. Okay, four.
Okay, so, I mean, Thoughtseize has to be in this list, right?
It's definitely in this list. I'm not sure where it is yet. I'm trying to place it mentally. It definitely has always been one of the best cards in Pioneer, and it's going to continue to be forever unless they ban it.
Yeah, so I would say it's... I'd put it like a three, probably.
Okay.
Thoughtseize at three. Do you want to choose another one? Or
I would say Uro is going to be on here.
Yeah, I don't... Uro. Yeah, I don't know.
He's enabling a lot Delirium. Of strategy. You know, he's enabled the Niv-Mizzet. He enabled the Sultai Delirium.
But yeah, but Niv-Mizzet's not doing that well ramp. Now, you said.
I mean, sure, but it's still a deck. Like, he's really enabled that. He is also seeing play... You know, if we got a Sultai Inverter, I've seen him played in that. Mm-hmm. Simic Ramp, like I said, isn't doing great.
Yeah,
but
it's so definitely, and that's
it is an impactful card on this format.
But I'm talking about the current All Stars, not the biggest.
No,
impact.
I think that it 100% deserves to be an All Star.
So it would be in my top 10, but it wouldn't be in my top 5. So agree to disagree. I would say Spellqueller is in here because of how well, you know, the Spirits decks have been.
I think the fact that it's only seeing play in Spirits for me makes it outside of the cut. There have been formats, you know, when we had Standard with Spellqueller, there were formats that were being played in every deck, and we're not like that. You know, it's not being played in other blue-white decks that could be playing it.
But it does I think so it really well in the format,
the
though.
Synergies.
That's what I'm saying. It's like it's doing well. It's like one of the key cards in Spirits. Like, Spirits would just not function, I think, if you didn't have Spellqueller in it.
Sure, it wouldn't function, but I don't think that it's, you know, raw power able to put itself out there as this is a card that's it's stopping decks in its track or anything like that.
Okay. I mean, that would be like a five if I was going to put it in my top five. Okay, so how about you? What's another card you think deserves
to be
in
the All-Star? Well, I know what my number one is going to be.
What's that?
Mystical Dispute.
What? Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's less
I mean, it's the card right now. It is the card.
Yeah, that's sad, actually.
Yeah, there's I know, it
so
is.
Much
you know, probably another one that I could argue up there would be Dig Through Time.
Really? I mean, Dig Through Time's only a like a one-off in a lot of these decks, though, right?
I mean, Inverter plays a set of it, usually.
Really?
At least most of a set of it.
I thought many people are just playing, like, one or two.
No, they're playing, like, four. You know, it's seeing one to two in Lotus Breach, often one to two in Delirium. You know, it's in Control.
Mm-hmm. Because, like, what people have been saying, like, even if you do ban it, those decks that, you know, are waiting, like, Inverter will just find another way.
Probably, yeah. That would hurt it a little bit. I don't think that if you were trying to ban out the Inverter deck without killing it, I don't even then, I'm not sure if that's the way to do it. That might be the way to do it, but I'm not sure if it's the way to do it.
Yeah, I didn't have it. That'd be a top 10 card. I wouldn't put it in my top 5, though.
Okay,
my next choice, Mutavault.
That's a good one. Mono black, should be on the red.
I mean, I don't know what other. I mean, Spirits uses it? No?
Maybe. It'll usually see 1 or 2 in Spirits.
Yeah, so.
I think maybe less now that most of the ones are banned. Let me see if the recent ones have any copies of it.
But yeah, best.
Most of the banned ones are not. It just doesn't quite support a colorless land in a 3-color aggro deck.
Best monocolor card or land card, I think.
So it has to be.
That'd be like number 2, I think, for me. Maybe number 1.
What's your number 1? Where are you?
I know Mutavault might be number 1, actually. Well, I would say Thassa's Oracle would probably be either 1 or 2. I mean, that's just it's a win condition for like all the best decks, for Inverter, for Lotus Breach.
But I'd have a hard time saying that Thassa's Oracle has been more impactful than Uro, as if we're looking at just cards from Theros Beyond Death.
Yeah, but it's a win condition, though. I mean, as far as raw value-wise, yes, Uro is definitely better. But a card that just ends the game on the spot.
Okay.
You know, that's Thassa's Oracle, I think. That plus Jace, of course, makes that deck possible, makes Inverter possible.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't need Jace so much in the, what do you call, the Lotus Breach deck. And even they don't, I guess they don't even really need the Thassa's Oracle so much anymore, right? They can just go off with Explosion.
Yeah, they more play Breach. Usually they'll play Jace because that can be grabbed by Granted.
Yeah. So, I don't know, is there anything else that you think deserves to be in the top 5?
No, I think that's reasonable.
So you said Teferi's not really that good anymore? Because I would have said Teferi's probably still might make my top 5.
Yeah, he's just not seeing quite as much play right now. I almost want to say Bonecrusher Giant.
Yeah, I could see that.
I mean, there haven't been a ton of red X decks, but if there's a red deck, it's usually playing Bonecrusher Giant.
Yeah, if I put him in here, he'd probably like a 5 or 6, I think.
That's fair.
So before we finish, I mean, if there's nothing else you want to talk about for the current All-Stars, before we finish, I wanted to kind of get your take on what you think, what decks are kind of up and coming. We talked about what we thought was Tier 1, Tier 2, and whatnot, but do you think there's some stuff that maybe it just needs a couple more cards and, you know, maybe it's something to kind of keep an eye on, you know, during the rest of this this season?
Yeah, I can think of a few. So I kind of mentioned that Stompy is one of those that I think is close and could maybe see a build. Maybe they can, maybe like a blue-green Stompy.
Or like the red-green.
Yeah, as far as what just needs a couple more cards, I think that there are a lot of decks that are just missing some mana fixing. I think that Humans is one of those decks that if we could see a Bant Humans deck, I think that would compete.
Yeah, so
Or even a 4-color Humans deck. You know, we've got a lot of the Humans that are available in Modern as well as Collected Company, and we just need the mana fixing to make them possible.
Yeah, so we need like the fast lands, we need the pain lands.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little something to make that more smooth.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, like Red X aggro, I think that we'll see some more variation, especially once the mana gets better. I'm still waiting for Red Green aggro to be good.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't really talk about it so much. We only talked about it when we're talking about the results, but I kind of like Mono Red Eldrazi going forward.
Mm.
You know, it's got the, I think, Thought Not Seer in the sideboard, which is so cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Like, I can't really make the aggro decks because I'm not going to spend money on the Embercleaves, but you know, I could definitely make like the Amano Red Eldrazi deck, kind of more of like a mid-rangey sort of thing.
That's
definitely more up my alley.
Esper Control might be another one. I'm just waiting. Like, it's probably a great deck. It's just not playable with the mana.
I kind of think like SRAM Auras. I mean, it's still like a new archetype. I think it could be kind of, how could I say, it could raise the efficiency on it, or make it more consistent, I would say.
I should probably give that some more testing, because I haven't played with that one that much.
It seems hard. It seems like you got to be like a really good player to kind of know like what your lines are. Like, you know, when do you play your SRAM and all your things to kind of get all that card advantage. But once you learn how to play it, like if you're, Ken Yukihiro, then yeah. And I think it'll be a good deck for you.
Okay.
Yeah. Anything else you think?
No, I think that's a pretty good topic that we kind of jumped around on a little bit of everything that's going on, a little bit of where we see the format right now, and as well as giving you guys some updates on what has happened recently. So, you know, just trying to keep everyone up to date with what is new, which is powerful in the world of Pioneer.
So, shout outs. Let's finish this up.
Shout out to my dog for finally going to sleep.
Yay. If you guys want to, if you guys want to contact me, of course, find me on Twitter at Yoschwenky, Yoschwenky. You can find me on my website, www.thejapanhobbyist.com. We also have a Discord, which we should probably promote more, right?
Yeah, I mean, generally, if people can find the Reddit page, the MTG Pioneer Reddit page, they can find the Discord. Usually shout out our Facebook pages. Those are pretty good and active. You know, lots of good ways to talk to other Pioneers players if you're not. If you want to talk to us, tell us what you think about the show or what is going on in Pioneer, then you can reach out to us. I am on Twitter at MTG Pioneer.
Okay, yeah, that's right. You just give out that one for no one. It's so easy.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's great.
Yeah, and also, we're on iTunes now. We are on Podbean, of course. We are on Spotify.
Yep, that's where I've been listening.
I think those are the big ones right now. Eventually, we'll work out a couple more, but make sure to like us, make sure to subscribe to us, and tell your friends about us.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you guys for listening. We really appreciate the support. And for everyone out there, we are the First Pioneers. We look forward to being your go-to source for Pioneer information online. Your First Pioneers, signing off.